Before the break, we spoke with the CEO of a Wisconsin firm seeking to connect food entrepreneurs with fresh ingredients from growers around the state. Now we shift gears and go to the other end of the equation.
Environmental reporter Susan Benz takes us out into the environment to meet a couple of foodie entrepreneurs. It's actually a reunion of sorts with Texas transplant Martha Davis Kipchak. Susan visited her pimento cheese business almost exactly 2 years ago. But first, we meet specialty baker Robin Wright in her workspace in Waukesha County.
There's lots of mixing and tossing as I arrive at Wright's operation. It's a jump away from the Glacial Drumlin bike trail in the village of Dousman. The entrepreneur moved out of her own kitchen into a 1,000-square-foot incubator space this past March. More recently, Wright hired a small team of part-time assistants. Her company is called Kalyana, Sanskrit for well-being. At this moment, three white-jacketed, hair-netted women are putting together the ingredients of Wright's sprouted cornbread mix. Wright morphed from a career in finance. As she describes it, she says a little thing in the back of her head
was urging me to have my own business. I had actually been a financial consultant for the last 12 years. The last 5 years, I actually also became certified in life coaching. So I was practicing on myself about, like, what keeps coming up that won't let me alone.
She says her passion for our food system was staring her in the face, looking for an outlet.
And then, of course, what we're eating as a family, that it just kind of all seemed to converge, which was a little over a year ago.
She gravitated to her sweet spot.
I mean, I started literally baking cakes from scratch when I was 9 years old.
As a parent, Wright began to research ways to replace what she saw as troubling, refined sugar and plain old flour, with healthier ingredients.
What I was concerned about was how white flour and white sugar were metabolizing. I thought, well, how can I still bake and enjoy the fruits of that without having to compromise my health?
She started experimenting with gluten-free concoctions.
So what I found was almond flour and coconut flour were really nutrient-dense, high protein, low carbohydrate.
Wright also found it wasn't a slam dunk transition from her traditional baking success.
You know, your grandmother's chocolate chip cookie recipe? No, it's not quite the same. It was very frustrating because I love to bake and I've had a lot of success doing it. Well, then when all these recipes start failing and then $15 gets thrown away, you know, because almond flour and coconut flour and unrefined coconut sugar, they're very expensive. So it was really disheartening.
Until her aha moment struck. If she was having so much difficulty creating delicious out of healthy ingredients, others were likely to have the same experience. She set out to come up with a few foolproof recipes and assembled the ingredients. Wright had others test her product.
I found like 25 to 30 test bakers around the country. I sent my recipe, like how to make this, but then I had them write down, what did you actually put in it? Because as we know, not everyone follows the directions exactly. And believe it or not, some people would write back, oh, I substituted this for that. And, you know, they did their own thing. And I wanted to know, what do people really do?
She knew she was on the right track when she won an Entrepreneur Kitchen Challenge hosted by Milwaukee Area Technical College and particularly revels in the impressions of one of its 8 judges, who was vocal about being anti-gluten free.
Saying that not only was my products delicious, it was just that he said you have to be a really good baker first to be able to be a really good gluten-free baker.
The first product she took to market was coconut flour banana chocolate chip muffin mix.
It has now been certified organic through the USDA. This muffin has been the number one seller.
Now in a dead heat with her almond flour brown butter chocolate chip cookie mix. Wright says she went through many trials before she perfected it.
It kept turning out like a muffin, and so I did a lot more food science research into how could I get it to be crispy on the outside and kind of nice and chewy and caramely, like we like chocolate chip cookies to be. So I did research, and the reason why it's called the brown butter chocolate chip cookie is because the butter needed to be melted first.
The entrepreneur seems to be on a nonstop schedule. She's introduced a total of 7 mixes. A few months ago, she started a made-to-order and a bit of wholesale bakery baking. Then there's her new almond flour carrot cake. By now, aren't you asking yourself, how can this sound so good and not be bad for you?
Because it's an almond flour-based carrot cake. It's only sweetened with pure maple syrup and very little at that. It has organic coconut in it, walnuts, carrots. You can enjoy them while you're eating them, but you feel good after too.
Customers are apparently feeling good about Wright's approach. She sells to 16 stores in southeastern Wisconsin, another 9 around the country, and a handful in Northern California.
There's a population in Northern California who just really gets this way of eating.
Another part of Wright's mission is to cultivate the entrepreneurial spirit. 3 of her 6 part-time employees are high school students. I met them a few days ago, peddling at Good Harvest Market. The Pewaukee store was first to take on Wright's products. Working from a card table next to a wall of refrigerated cases, Anne Wright, yes, Robin's daughter, is doling out bite-sized brownie samples. She shares her standard marketing spiel.
I usually mention how it's made with coconut palm sugar, so it's pretty low glycemic index compared to other products that are made with just cane sugar or whatever. And so, I usually just emphasize how it tastes really good for a gluten-free product, and it's pretty nutritious as far as gluten-free products go, and especially bakery items.
The high school senior recruited her friend C.J. Taubner. Usually the team spends a few hours after school mixing ingredients and packaging back at the plant. This is CJ's first demo experience.
Yeah, she really brought me into the organic lifestyle. I never really did it before, but it's fun.
Sophomore Grace Abler is up front learning from the master.
I've mostly just been listening to Robin talk about it tonight just so I sort of see how it all goes, but we've had some really positive reactions, so it's cool to see that people like it.
A budding artist, Grace couldn't be more serious when she says it's the kind of business she can be proud to work for. Not just because of its organic, eat healthy tenets, but Grace believes it's part of a bigger trend, one she supports.
You know, we built up to all this retail and all these bigger companies and all this stuff, but now people are shifting more to like smaller businesses, looking for different alternative ways they can live their lives.
Susan Bentz leaves entrepreneur Robin Wright with her fledgling entrepreneurs at the Pewaukee Market and takes us east to the Clock Shadow Creamery in Milwaukee's Walker's Point neighborhood to reconnect with pimento cheesemaker Martha Davis Kipchak.
It's been nearly 2 years exactly when I met the Texas transplant at First and Bruce. By day, Clock Shadow is the domain of cheesemakers who craft cheddar, curds, and other delicacies. Kipchak grew up consuming pimento cheese. In the South, she says, it's a condiment staple, like ketchup and mustard. She grew up eating white bread with pimento cheese slathered in between. Late in 2012, Kipchak launched Mighty Fine Food LLC and her version of pimento cheese, mild and a jalapeno version. She recently added chile de árbol, a totally different pepper, she says, more like cayenne. Her workforce has also grown from 2, counting Kipchak, to 4. Jasmine Rodriguez says she's been with Kipchak almost since the beginning. Today, they're preparing a big batch of jalapeno, just part of the biggest order in Mighty Fine Foods history.
We have 97 cases ordered for this week, which is our highest that we've ever had. And I think 70 of that, if not 80 of the cases, are going down to New Orleans, which is a new market we just opened.
Rodriguez opens can upon can of peeled, diced pimento peppers. She says finding this version from a Tennessee producer carves hours out of their production time.
Before, we used to buy like the bulk cans and chop the peppers ourselves and clean them. But Martha ended up finding these peppers that are already chopped, and they worked wonders. Like,
40 minutes go into prep time. Equipment is washed, Rodriguez handles the peppers, while another worker, Tom Cawley, cuts huge pieces of aged cheddar into 10-pound chunks. Then they shred the cheese. Martha Kipchak says the quality and quantity of the cheese makes her product special.
That was one thing that I learned from my mama when around cooking. She was a fantastic cook. She always said, make sure that every ingredient is good. Don't try to cheat and think, you know, you can slip some bad ingredients in there. It doesn't mean expensive, just good. Good quality. So that you maintain that integrity. And for this, because we are predominantly cheese, and this is really, our pimento cheese is all about the cheese. Some of them lead with mayonnaise, so they're a lot wetter and more spreadable. But we're trying to showcase Wisconsin cheese in a whole new venue.
But it's become a more expensive proposition, thanks to changes in the cost of cheese.
That's our most expensive ingredient, and it's gone up 3 times in price since we have done this. The price of milk has gone up, and therefore the price of cheese. So, and we're trying to hold our price so that it would sell. So it's squeezing really hard. So Jasmine came up with this system.
A method to avoid waste. They used to lose up to a couple of pounds of cheese during the shredding process. It got gummed up in the grinder. Jasmine Rodriguez came up with the idea of gathering up the odds and ends and sandwiching them between two slabs of cheese before sending it through the grinder.
Now all we have left after all of this is about a tennis ball worth of cheese, and she takes it home to her kids and they fight over it.
15 large bowls swell with grated cheese. Heaps of pimento and coarsely ground pepper are added, and then each is mixed by hand, just enough to evenly distribute the ingredients. Then comes the jalapeno, purchased locally and pickled by the Mighty Fine team.
Our product is as close to homemade as it could possibly be, which is why it's delicious, but that does make it challenging.
Her pimento cheese has an 8-week shelf life. Early on, Kipchak was encouraged to freeze it, but she wasn't happy with the results. Her pimento cheese just didn't taste right, so they closely timed production to go out the door as quickly as possible. Kipchak says she's learned countless lessons along the way.
Learning and investigating everything, such as at the end of the day, we'll put little batch numbers on the side. I couldn't figure out what you call that thingamajig that you put that sticker on. I couldn't come up with the name of it. And then I kept asking people, where do you get that? And people would go, I don't know, we just have always had ours.
She discovered and subsequently purchased her pricing gun. Kipchak is perhaps a bit modest. In 2013, her pimento cheese took 2 ribbons at the American Cheese Society competition. Kipchak was ranked among the 2013 Women of Influence in recognition of her role as a food organizer, networker, and promoter. But launching and surviving as a startup business, she says, is daunting. Kipchak says aspiring entrepreneurs tap her for advice.
And I always tell them early on, do you have a support system? Are you healthy? Do you know how to get enough sleep? Do you get exercise? Because you really need to get in the healthiest place possible in order to take all that you need to do to navigate.
The company's packages promise Wisconsin artisan cheese, authentic Southern taste. But Kipchak is coy about what the future size and scope of Mighty Fine Foods might be.
You know, I don't know that we have to be all the way across the entire nation. I would like to be able to still call myself an artisan food business because I like high-touch food. I sincerely think it's not just a gimmick. I really think that it makes a difference when you have food that is touched a lot with gloves, but you know what I mean. I will constantly be reevaluating.
Kipchak does have immediate and long-term goals. She's keeping up with the payments on a small $9,500 startup loan she received, along with paying her part-time employees. She hasn't yet paid herself anything. She's hoping that changes in 2015. She's also exploring a gradual transition to an employee-owned company.
After giving a lot of thought about what would be the most responsible model, I like that model. I like the buy-in and more people sharing the profit.
Kipchak also has visions of spearheading an urban cheese collective through which individual businesses would help promote one another. A marketing consultant might call that a mighty fine idea. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Lake Effect's Susan Bentz spoke with pimento cheese magnate Martha Davis Kipchak, and before that, Waukesha County specialty baker Robin Wright.